I'm Madeline Stilwell, Senior Vice President of Hero Management at Vought International. Our portfolio of superheroes has grown exponentially since our humble beginnings back in 1944. From Soldier Boy to the Seven, we provide the world with the safety, service, and the super it deserves. Where your adventures take you, always remember, Vought is here for you.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Discussing Comics. I am Kyle Jones, and joining me on this podcast are my two co-hosts of the evening. And let's start with Ron Stevens. Ron, how are you?
I'm doing quite well, Kyle. How you doing, man?
I can't complain. It's been a couple of months now since I've seen the boys, but I've kind of re-delved back into it, and I'm excited to talk about it. So glad to be here, and glad you're here. And glad also to have back once again, Clarence Brown. Clarence, how are you?
Doing good, man. Doing good. And as always, happy to be on another episode of whatever we're talking about, comics, Who, Trek, you name it.
Sweet, sweet. Well, as always, happy to have you back. And, you know, I have a question for you guys. And I guess this is sort of the news because as of this recording, this is September the 29th, so it's technically not come out here. I think the premiere has happened. But my question for the news is, are you guys planning to see The Joker?
By the obligation, yeah, I'm going to go see it.
Interesting answer. What about you, Clarence?
I don't know. I would like to see the movie, of course, but I don't know if the tone or maybe just the introspective look, is that the right word? The deep look at this character is something that's really something that excites me. I think it could be a good movie, but I just have no clue where it's going to ultimately go. And that might be the thing that should make me want to go watch it. So I don't know.
So I'm going to find myself, actually, Clarence, I think I'm more in tune with what you're saying. Now, there is a part of me that feels the obligation that Ron just said about, well, by obligation, I feel like I need to go see it if I'm doing a comic book podcast. Right. But on the flip of that, I've not found anything in this movie or even the trailers that are like, ooh, that's so interesting. Oh, I can't wait. I got to go see that. I'm just kind of like, meh with it.
It's not all that captivating. I guess that's what you're saying, but the trailer don't really grab you. Like, yeah, I got to go see this. You know, it doesn't really amp you up like any other typical, like Justice League or Batman or the Avengers type trailers. You know, I don't know. Like I said, yeah, it don't really grab you, but you know, make you say, yeah, go see this movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it actually kind of falls in that Venom type feel. Like, it's as good as it's going to be without its protagonist.
But see, I want to argue against that just a bit. And I purposely brought up Joker because of what we're talking about tonight. And with Venom, Venom has been labeled a villain and Venom has been labeled a, anti-hero or, sort of kind of hero. So my question comes back to with the Joker, there is for all intents and purposes, no redeeming qualities of the character of the Joker, in my opinion. And part of our not liking this movie or feeling connected to it, honestly, I think that would be scary if one of us said, oh, I'm really like identifying with the Joker. I don't think that would be a good thing.
No, it wouldn't be. I think I would have to say you may need to be reevaluated.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And like with a lot of the, well, I think of some of the MCU movies where they can do slightly different takes on what we think of as a superhero movie, you know, a heist movie or a buddy movie. I think with this one, they are trying to do a deep psychological look into the character of the Joker. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if that makes a good Joker movie or not. it does seem like it's an interesting look at the character, though. But again, like, I don't know if that's going to fill seats. You know, when I think of a Joker movie, as much as people hate Suicide Squad, I would probably love to see Jared Leto and Harley Quinn, you know, in the movie together. But maybe that's just me. But yeah. I don't know. This could be good. It could be good.
But see, I want to add, go back to the anti-hero aspect. Harley Quinn has some redeeming quality. She has been known to do altruistic things before. You know,
yeah, it is like a sliver of goodness.
Yes,
in her.
Exactly. Whereas with the, I mean, again, when, and I wish we had Lee on here from a, you know, from a playwright perspective, but from just a viewer perspective, I don't know what the antagonist for the Joker is going to be other than it's society that, and they're saying that maybe society creates the Joker. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that's why we're looking from the trailers. Anyway, it seems as if we're looking at the totality of his journey. And we see what turns him into who he is, and maybe that can make him more sympathetic in that aspect.
So quite interesting. And like I said, again, the reason I wanted to bring that up is to kind of segue from the Joker, which is on the big screen, to something that is on the small screen, which is our purpose of being here tonight, The Boys, which is an Amazon original. So for anyone listening, I want to kind of change up my spoiler warning a little bit and say, while we're not getting adult oriented in this podcast, the content of The Boys is a little bit probably PG-14. So, or PG-17 or whatever you want to call it. So if you have children, if you're listening to it and you're listening to it young, kind of maybe put the children out of the room. But if you have not seen this, put us on pause, go out, watch the episode, come back, because from this moment forward, spoilers.
Spoilers. Affirmative. Spoilers. Spoilers. Affirmative. Spoilers.
Alrighty, the spoiler warning has gone out, and actually the content warning. I've never done one of those before. That was kind of interesting. So spoiler warning and content warning has gone out, and we are back to review The Boys. It is an Amazon original, and it aired in 8 episodes for season 1 that dropped on the 26th of July, 2019. This program is based on the comic book by the same name. It was published under the Wildstorm imprint for issues 1 through 6 and Dynamite Entertainment for issues 7 through 72. And of course, this was between October 2006 and November 2012. This comic series was known for extreme violence and depictions of sexuality. So guys, initial thoughts, and Clarence, I'll let you go first. Initial thoughts. What did you think of the series?
I think in today's age, this series asked a lot. And I kind of think of Heroes as well when I think of this series, but not in tone, but in just how that series had to introduce a lot of new characters that most people, I'm raising my hand here because that includes me, have never heard of. And what it does brilliantly is able to establish all these characters, get you invested in them, and jump into this universe that, again, most people know nothing about. And it does it very well, very successfully, definitely a dark tone. And a look at what it looks like when heroes aren't the altruistic beings that we often put them up as. So that's kind of my high level take. What about you guys?
All right, Ryan, what do you think? What was your view?
Well, to add on to what Clarence was saying, it's really a deconstruction of what we see as our classic superheroes. We're looking at a Superman without the moral values he picked up when he was raised by the Kents. You're looking at a deconstructed version of the Wonder Woman with how she has pretty much been overshadowed by men when versus to where she was a standalone character where she didn't need a man to actually make herself feel important. And then you have the Flash deconstruction of, I guess, what's the character's name?
A-Train.
A-Train, where he is basically, he is just basically your, like, consumed by popularity, you know, and it's, yeah, it's all your, basically your deconstruction version of classic superheroes that we knew back then, which is really very interesting in seeing how, what superheroes would be like in our time now. Would they be how we read them in the comic books, or would they just be consumed by fame and, for better lack of a word, just vain characters?
All right. So before I give my thought, let me ask you one quick question, which is, are you familiar or had you read the comic before watching the series?
I was aware of the comic book, but I never read it.
All right.
Never got a chance to read it.
All right. Got you. So I'm going to fall under the umbrella of I knew the comic existed. I absolutely knew nothing about what it was about. I mm-hmm. just knew that there was something called The Boys, and I had never read it because the covers didn't look interesting to me. And I never read it, didn't know nothing about it. But I will echo what Clarence said in the sense of, yes, it did a brilliant job establishing a varied cast, a huge cast of characters, mm-hmm. and made you as an audience either dislike or like or sympathize, empathize, whatever thighs you want to, you know, add to that. You know, I felt all of that. And I think Amazon was very shrewd in dropping this when they did, because this is right on the heels of record-breaking Avengers Endgame. And you see what is poised as the best of superheroes. And you come now and see some of the worst of superheroes. Mm-hmm. And I think that just timing-wise, they were very smart to release it when they did. And I also would agree with you, Ryan, that this did do a great job of deconstructing heroes. And I will go so far as to say, at least on the visual representation for television or movie, this interpretation of a deconstruction was so much better than, I don't want to, you know, say anything bad about the Watchmen comic, but the Watchmen movie, if I had to compare this to the Watchmen movie, I would say this was done so much better than the Watchmen movie.
That is a bold statement there, because that I haven't seen that, you know, like we're saying, I never seen such a deconstruction since Watchmen. And now to put that to mind now, yeah, they're pretty, dropped my phone. They are pretty, pretty close to, I mean, it's neck and neck with me. I don't know if I would put it over Watchmen, but it's
now,
very
are
close.
You saying the Watchmen comic or are you saying the Watchmen movie?
Well, since it's we're talking about the show, I'll say the movie.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll give you that. So let me ask you guys, let's talk about the setup. You know, in the first episode, we see from the beginning, this is not your typical superhero story. So Clarence, what was your first shocking moment? You were like, you know, WTF, what in the heck is going on here? What was the first shock you can remember from watching this?
Oh man, I think the biggest initial shock I had is when, and I'm forgetting the main Superman-like character's name. Homelander.
Yes, Homelander.
Yeah. You know, of course I was shocked when we had that moment with the girlfriend. I mean, that was definitely shocking. But when we found out Homelander is not the good character that he's been put up to be, it really threw me for a loop. it threw me for a loop, because they do such a beautiful job of establishing these characters from the outside as being these heroic, you know, beings. And I think it was played well in the sense of how you think of social media and Even how a president or any popular celebrity is made to look on the outward appearance, and we don't see the flaws. So I think the moment the first plane he allowed to crash, it really had me in there. That was a shocker that had me like, okay, I got to see how this plays out.
Sweet. All right, Ryan, what about you? What was your big, like, WTF moment?
To see how, like, Homelander, just how, of course, how he was, I think, within the first episode, you're showing how thinking he's going to be, like, the good one out of everybody. And then you start seeing at each episode, you're seeing that just how dark he really is and just how far he is willing to go. And it probably was the best deconstruction of Superman I've seen in a while. And just to see it, just, like I said, just to see how he just how far he was willing to go and just how unhinged he is.
Okay. So I will take it in a little bit of a different direction. While I agree wholeheartedly with what you guys said, I think one of the things that made this series so relatable was on the flip of having the evilness or the callousness. I don't know which is the better word for this, some of the things that Homelander did that you guys just referred to. They equaled it out from the super heroic or the super wrongness that they were doing to things that happen in the real world. And I'm specifically referring to, I felt so bad for the character of Starlight or Annie. She's this very religious, very innocent girl that is a woman that is coming into this new job, for lack of a better term, because that's basically what it was, and something that she had worked for years and years and years. And finally it's happened. And her first experience is meeting this douchebag of a dude named the Deep, who basically blackmails her into performing oral sex on him. So
what a freaking jerk, man. Yes. What a freaking jerk. After that, I was through with him. They tried to redeem the Deep throughout the rest of the series just a little bit.
I was like, this is what he gets. I was like, this is exactly what he gets. I did not feel sorry for him.
No, neither did I. Yeah.
No, I didn't either, but they attempted to redeem him just a little bit by saving the dolphins or whatever. I don't know. What a jerk, man. What a freaking jerk. And that's pretty much each of these characters in some slight way.
But, you know, they gave us in that, you know, even just listening to the response that you guys just had of immediately almost coming to her defense, you know, in your condemnation of him, it again echoes why I think that this is a good series, is because it takes things that we can relate to and also things that are superness that we can't, and then mixes them together and makes them, like I said, relatable. So, while I think that was horrible, I still think I'm glad that they showed that these people are still people.
Now, do you guys think there is issue with some of these characters being almost one for one knockoffs of a lot of the DC Universe characters? Because some of them are just carbon copies, out at least in look slightly, and definitely in how they're presented. I just think they didn't stray far from at least the look and feel of some of the characters that they're trying to clone, in a sense.
You know what? I think that was, I think it was really meant to be on purpose, really, to actually, instead of making you guess, okay, what bad version is this from DC? So you had to give them a certain look to actually, you know, pick from that certain character they're actually trying to deconstruct from. So. I would say, yeah, that was meant to be on purpose. I think that's because you want to know. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just saying that it's just you wanted to see what it's like for if Wonder Woman was taken down from her high horse and put into having a human, I guess, morality, and just how all that, you know, success and all that fame affect her, really? And looking at Homelander, how he, you clearly have to think, okay, he has to be Superman. Or if you look at in Marvel's side, maybe Captain America, and look at how that would be, how they would be, how you take those, what either or Superman or Captain America, and how they would be deconstructed as that. Because if you look at it, Homelander was homemade. So was Captain America. What would Captain America would be if he found out that if his whole entire life was a lie and he was just made in a lab?
See, I'm going to take it a little bit different from there. I'm going to say that for me, Homelander was a combination, a total combination of the concept of Captain America and the concept of Superman, mashed them together. And again, perfect timing for releasing this. But when you are talking about Homeland and you've got so much in politics today talking about, you know, securing the border and, you know, securing the homeland, the name Homelander resonates in that. And I think again, the name's been around since 2006 when it was created. But again, timing of the series, I just, you know, thought that that was a good name for this character to have. I don't know so much about High Horse from, you know, Wonder Woman. I'm a big Wonder Woman fan, but I will agree that, I did like the disillusionment that Queen Maeve had. I just felt defeated is what I felt from her. And she was just kind of nonchalant about everything because, what does it matter? Meh, you know, whatever I do is not going to matter anyway.
Right.
And, you know, I really liked how they did that. But back to Clarence's original question, with only so many tropes in superhero-dom for there to be, I think they mixed and matched and mashed together various aspects because for the most, everybody does indeed come from DC. I mean, I can argue that Homelander is a combination of both, but at the in a nutshell, yes, this is a bad Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take it from the other direction. So if the superheroes are the bad guys, the good guys are the boys, which I want to ask you guys about Billy Butcher. So Clarence, first thought impressions. What you think of Billy?
This is the first role I've seen Carl Urban in using his, I guess this is, accent from wherever he's from. I think he's from the UK or Australia. I can't remember which one, but anyway, he's using his native accent in this role, I believe. I think the thing that we had to look at with the, protagonist in this series, and I say that very loosely because these guys are not good guys at all. but all of what they're doing comes from a place of being wrong slightly or majorly in his case, as well as, is it Hugh's case as well?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, when you talk about him as the leader of the boys, which includes a girl, by the way, kind of strange, they are trying to right a wrong. And it makes me think a lot of us as fans of the X-Men and even especially like the X-Men movies. And we think about how the government is trying to put the clamps on the X-Men or even Civil War. We want the superheroes to register and all this other stuff. In a world like this, it makes all of those fears seem right. and again, we're seeing Billy Butcher lead this ragtag group of anti-heroes to try to solve some of the wrongs. So I think he was fun in this series. And of course, he is doing a lot of questionable things, but he's doing what he thinks needs to be done to try to, shed the light on superhero as a business thing that's going on. And I don't know. I thought he's very fun, and he's doing what needs to be done, man. It's a very scary world out there in the world of the boys. And man, I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts?
All right, Ron, what do you think? What did you think of particularly Billy?
Billy, I definitely felt for him and you understand, but he's definitely crossed that line of, you know, on trying to, I guess, do the right thing or trying to, what would you do if, you know, your loved one was taken away by a soup, as they call it on the show, and just how far you're willing to take it. And he's not holding any punches, man. Him along with his group. And, you know, it's definitely, like I say, you definitely feel for him and you understand where his anger is coming from when he wants to take out all these guys out. Cause it's like Clarence was saying, is that you understand and makes you feel like their fear is right to, you know, to fear these people with powers because they are completely reckless, you know, and is his actions on, you know, to take them out. Probably wouldn't have taken that stuff. Maybe what, you know, just probably take it like a political way and, you know, have like Marvel does, like do a civil war with the registration thing. So I try to put a clamp on him, like Clarence said, but, he believes that they need to be taken out, like out of this world. So you don't want to, like, you get it, but you don't want to necessarily fully agree what he's doing, but, cause there's always a better choice, you know, out of that, but you know, he's human. So he's going to make human choices.
He's human. I get that. I mean, I can get that, but out of all the characters, I like Billy the least. There was something about the character and I get him. He thinks that, you know, Homelander murdered his wife. I get that. You know, I'm assuming he thinks he raped and killed her. Okay. I get that. I understand that, but there was something about the character and it may have been the way the actor was portraying the character, but I, out of all of the characters, I would have been least sad if he would have gotten killed off. There was just something about him that rubbed me the wrong way. And I think that being everybody that he worked with, he would say whatever he could say to get them to do what he wanted them to do, whether it be Huey, whether it be Mother's Milk, whether it be Frenchie, whoever the case may be, he did and said whatever he could to get what he wanted in that moment. You know,
he did have a bit of a silver tongue with the characters on the show. Like he could definitely persuade people to do certain things that he probably wouldn't have done. And yeah, it does make him look really bad. And what makes it even worse is I think the death of the supposed death of his wife, brought out that darkness out of him. But there was already, you know, it seemed like it was already at bay. Cause if you remember watching a couple episodes before she was killed, he had some kind of iffy feeling about supers anyways.
Okay. All right. Clarence, what about you? What do you think?
So Cal, let me paint a picture for you, man.
All right, paint it. All right. You're the artist. Go for it.
Imagine a movie where Superman fights some enemy through the streets of Metropolis and destroys everything. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, they go through the Wayne Enterprises building and Ben Affleck drives up in a truck and says, no.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. Probably. So, let me guess. Very, very wide angled. Maybe is this picture you're painting?
So I'm here to say Billy Butcher is our Batman to Homelander's Superman in this movie. Because he's been wronged and he's on a streak to get vengeance at all costs.
At all costs.
Okay, so in that sense, since you said that, let me back up just a little bit and say that I really like Billy Butcher. He was very well deconstructed because he was not Batman from a picture that Clarence just painted. So I'm taking back what I just. So let me
ask. Masterpiece, by the way, there, Clarence. Masterpiece.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Hopefully that, you know, nobody will ever create a masterpiece similar to that. Otherwise somebody might die of boredom. Anyway. So let me ask you guys, what did you guys think of A-Train as a character?
He's a jerk, man. I mean, all of them are jerks, but it's like he doesn't even know what is happening around him almost and what his action does to other people. I think that's like the worst type of jerk there is. Like, you just killed this guy's girlfriend and the only thing you can say was, I gotta go, and you zoom right off. And then when you see him again, it's like it happened 10 years ago and you barely remember it. And this happened like, I think it was like a week or so. Like, there's maybe a week had passed from that point when he saw him again at the Seven's Tower. So it's just, he is the worst, man. Like, and even, and when he was also part of, like, I guess apparently trying to beat the other speedster, he was basically juicing himself up so he can keep the speed because he didn't want to be taken out of the Seven. So he does that. He juices himself up and has to kill his girlfriend because of her ratting him out. Basically, he definitely has sold his soul to the devil just for a little bit of fame.
Okay, so Clarence, what about you? Do you agree? Was A-Train just a total washout or dweeb or whatever?
Yeah, he is. They all are. But but I think it's interesting when you think of this series explores so many different things. Superheroes as a business and these manufactured superheroes. Now, with him in particular, he's the only character that they really explore this with. But as a whole, with this, what's the name of this stuff that they use?
Compound V.
Compound V, he's the only one that's really using it to maintain or keep his powers at peak capacity. And they really don't even hint at if the other heroes need it or not, which I think that was kind of a failing of the show because they really didn't explain that. But he wants to be the fastest. And again, when I look at this show, it makes me want to look at the other superhero universes. And I think that's the good thing about this series. Like, it seems oftentimes we don't ever really, and maybe you guys can hold me true on this. I'm probably I'm a little off of this, but we don't really explore what happens when the heroes start to lose a step. Now, I know we have Old Man Logan and things like that, but they still are really as badass as they were from when they were young in most cases. So can you guys give me any instance of where we see heroes age out and start to lose a step? I know we have old Bruce Wayne in some of the comics as well, but can you guys give me a specific instance? And I know, again, like, these heroes and the boys are manufactured, so they're apt to probably start losing a step because they're juiced in a sense. But I mean, what are you guys' thoughts?
Well, there was, if I'm not mistaken, Kyle, wasn't there a Marvel's Night story where they told a story about Spider-Man, how he is seen, he was a bit older. I think he was like at his, I think, late 30s or mid 40s, but his powers were declining, basically.
I think you might be referring to MC2, the precursor to the Ultimate Universe, where he had a daughter and his powers were declining, but his daughter had grown up and was now, you know, Spider-Girl. I think that may be. But in regards to main continuity, I don't think we've ever had a "you've gotten too old." Now, in the Avengers, we have seen with Tony and with Carol where alcoholism has interfered with their being, you know, either Iron Man or I think it was Warbird she was going by when she was having the alcoholism issue. So, you know, that deconstruction has happened. But as far as, you know, oh, well, you've become too old, in the natural progression, not really. Now, there was a story where Steve lost the power of the, I mean, the serum wore off and he was aged for a while, but that was a storyline context that aged him, but it wasn't a natural progression of age. So Clarence, your answer, I really don't think age has ever been, or your powers are failing you because of that, has ever been brought up.
Mm-hmm. Mm. And certainly we have the who's the fastest, Superman or the Flash. We've had that, you know, had that played out. But I think it's interesting here where we see the powers aren't always 100%. And you know, there might be a time you're not the fastest in the world. And I like how they kind of made A-Train like a, for all intents and purposes, a jerk sports guy, basketball player, football player, whatever. And I thought that was at least fun. But again, like this series does so much to explore things that I'd never really thought about in different aspects of superherodom. That's a word.
So, you know, it's interesting, Clarence, you ended on what you just said in regards to the sports aspect. You know, for me, growing up with surrounded by athletes and, you know, seeing people go off to college and play sports in college and, you know, trying to keep up, you know, with that, you know, it's that constant competition to be the best and to, you know, make sure that, you know, you're working out as much as you're supposed to and you're, but at the same time, you're partying and you're doing this and you're doing that. I mean, I saw so much of the athletic aspect of A-Train's story. So I think, again, they gave it something to people to relate to, which, again, I think was just brilliant to do. So that was my take on him being A-Train. But let's switch over to something we can't see, Translucent. What did you guys think of Translucent as a character and specifically Translucent's ultimate demise? So, Clarence, what do you think? Translucent.
I think what was really interesting about Translucent, and he may be one of the more interesting in this series because, man, whereas most of these guys' downfalls is just being outright jerks, he's one too, but he's one that can creep around in bathrooms and just follow you around. And oh, this guy. I do love how they explained his skin working to where it's like impenetrable. I thought that was a pretty interesting concept I hadn't thought about before, but it makes this guy almost, you know, cannot be defeated in a lot of ways. And the way that they figure out how to kill him eventually, brilliant, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'll hand it up to you guys.
All right. Ryan, what do you say?
He's definitely, to me, was a jerk, but probably one of the weirdest characters in the show. Just because of the fact of him just peeping Tom in the girls' bathroom. Like that's where you spend your most of your time, like in the girls' bathroom. But I was like, okay, all right. But it was definitely rather clever because I guess they, in a way, you could say he's like Luke Cage and I don't know who else you would say in the DC's version because I'm not sure, I'm not too familiar.
I don't think there's a version of Luke Cage. There may be Amazing Man because he can turn, but he's more Absorbing Man because he can change his, you know, skin into whatever.
Right.
Maybe Steel, perhaps Commander Steel, but.
Yeah. But as far as like unbreakable skin, that's, you know, of course, like Luke Cage with his unbreakable skin, but it's, he definitely, he had a sense of realizing other people, they are just as bad as I am. As far as like the seven, maybe that's probably why he was always spending time in the bathrooms invisible, just peeping Tom on them just to see what they were thinking too, to really get inside their heads too. And to, I don't know, maybe to, I guess, use that against them at some point, but we'll never know now that he's a million pieces now. But, he was definitely one of the interesting characters, but also the weirdest character on the show.
Yeah. I agree.
Yep. Agreed. So really quick, Black No, how do you pronounce that? Black No, 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 what?
Noir, Noir.
Thank you. Yeah. I have trouble with that word. So Ron, real quick, what do you think of him?
I don't know. I mean, because he does not talk. I don't think he has said a word in that whole entire season, but I would like to see more of him. Honestly, he's definitely probably one of the most badass ones out of the whole entire group. And since he's kind of like Batman in a way, but
all right,
maybe. But
what do you think, Black Noir?
He's a little inconsequential. Like Ron said, he's pretty quiet. Now he doesn't. I don't remember him doing anything outright bad, except going along with the seven who are all pretty bad. So
right.
So he's kind of just guilty by association. But he reminds me a lot of, if you guys are familiar with G.I. Joe characters, he reminds me of Snake Eyes.
Yes, there we go. Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. So I want to transition, and she's going to bridge the transition really quick. Starlight. And specifically, what did you guys think of Starlight and her relationship with Huey? So Clarence, why don't you go first on this one?
Her relationship with Huey in particular, I felt bad for her. Of course, it all comes out in the open by the latter half of the series. But I feel bad for her because while I feel like his connection to her was genuine, I do hate the fact that Huey was using her in a sense. So it's always the situation where you go back to somebody not giving you the full truth from the beginning, and you're so deep into it now that, you know, if you bring it up, it'll never turn out great. But yeah, I feel sorry for her in that. I just feel sorry for her all around. Can I say that?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you can.
When you have been conditioned to pursue something your whole life, and, you know, it happens in life from time to time. You find out something is not exactly what you thought it would be. That's fine. But in this case, you find out where it's the polar opposite of what you thought it would be. And man, I just really feel bad for this character. Because like you mentioned up top, she's kind of the quintessential as far as her thoughts and feelings on being a superhero. She is kind of what all of these other characters should be aspiring to be.
Yes.
But yet she's thrown into a den of wolves, and she has this one guy on the outside that's kind of keeping her grounded through all this. And lo and behold, he's using her too.
Yeah.
And, you know, add in on top of that, you've got her mother, who you find out is, responsible for having an experiment to give her the power.
Yeah.
So, Ron, what about you? What did you think of Starlight and her relationship with Huey?
I have to agree with everything what Clarence was saying. Like, you feel for her, and she's really the one character that gives you hope, throughout the whole entire series. And you see that she is hanging on to a thread, and that one thread was Huey. And come to find out, he was using her too. But even then, that still kind of kept her, was able to hold on and keep herself true to herself, even after the fact that Huey lied to her and was using her to get to the seven. And it makes you, like I said, you that draws you more to her, and knowing that that's the kind of character you want to root for in this whole entire show. Because out of all of the murkiness, all the hot mess that all the rest of these characters are, Starlight is basically the light out of all this whole entire darkness on the show.
True. So I want to pair up the next two, because these were actually the next three. Because I actually liked all three of these, and I'll go first on this one. Mother's Milk, Frenchie, and Kamiko. I liked all three of them. I thought the guy that played Frenchie did a very good job of that. The guy that plays Mother's Milk, I actually wanted him to beat the you-know-what out of Butcher several times. And I liked Kamiko. I thought that the way that you had this character that was basically a super as well, but was not just like Starlight, an quote unquote evil super. I thought the dynamic was really well done. So Ryan, what about you on those three? Was any of those your pick favorite, and what did you think about them?
You know, Mother's Milk, I can definitely deal with him because he's really doing this thing for really his family. So you can understand, you can relate to him more out of all of them. And you feel for Frenchie based on his background and knowing what he's been through. And definitely Kamiko, she was really cool. I liked her abilities, what she can do, and understanding her background as well, knowing that she was, his disability was pretty much given to her. Like, it was this life that she was put in, she never asked for, you know, and she has to deal with all that. And she's very one of the out of, you know, she's probably, it'll be like all the interesting, it'll be Mother's Milk, Kamiko, and then Frenchie, you know, out of all the interesting ones.
All right. So Clarence, what about you? What do you think of them?
I liked Frenchie. I thought he was cool. I loved how he sympathized with Kamiko and was actually able to get to her and become friends with her. And, you know, a large part of her becoming part of a member of the boys. Now, I guess we have to eventually get into the whole discussion of, and maybe we can even think if we try to relate this to the real world in any sense, what is the name of the group? The V's? The Seven. What's the name of the company?
Voight. Voight.
Voight. Yeah. So they are at a point where they want this freaking government contract. And how do they want to secure this government contract? By none other than making manufacturing supers on the other side so they'll be needed. Which is just crazy. Again, like, they hit so many different concepts in this show. But again, like, Kamiko is a result of that. And, mm-hmm. and you kind of have to feel for her because she didn't act, like you said, Ron, she didn't ask for any of this. Mm-hmm. But I, again, to take it back to your question, I do love how Frenchie is able to communicate with her and become friends with her. And yeah, and I do think it goes in large part to show Billy Butcher that not all supers are bad, which I do think he eventually is going to figure that out too with Starlight, but I think she's kind of that catalyst to maybe change his thinking just a little bit.
Yep, agreed. And you know, even though this isn't people, you know, I thought of, you know, selling arms to one side of a fight just to advance your own agenda, whatever that may be. I mean, we see that done today. We saw in, you know, the Iraq war where mm-hmm. you had defense contractors, not the military, but the private defense contractors going in and putting people in there. So the war made them money. So it's so many ways that you can relate real world to this. Yeah. And I think that was mm-hmm. very, 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 you know, well done. But since you brought up Voight, let's talk about for a quick moment, the lady by the name of Madeline Stillwell, and specifically her very freaky, creepy relationship with Homelander. What did you guys think? Was I as creepy by that? Were you guys as creeped out as I was?
So again, I don't know if we get any clear sense on how these manufactured heroes grew up as far as time frame wise. Did they grow up in from youngster to adult in like 5 years or? Was their lifespan normal? Now, in Starlight's case, I would assume it's normal. But in any case, I think it's weird that this grown man, however he was raised, grown man, I'm speaking of Homelander here, however he was raised, would have this weird, I don't know if it's mother-like, it's semi-mother-like, semi-fetish.
Yes, because you read my mind, because it was a bit mother-like, son-type. Feel it was weird because at first, like I never read the book, so that was my guess that somehow Homelander was somehow her mom or like foster mom. I don't know, but yeah. It just seemed weird and just not right at all.
See, I saw him more so as like having this childlike or not well developed because of the fact that you developed him away from other people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was that sense of he did develop that relationship, almost of a maternal relationship, but also as he matured, he also developed the other relationship with her, and it was just freaking creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I also thought like it could be that at some point they were near the same age and she just kept getting older. I wish I had more backstory on their relationship because it's really odd and I can't quite frame what they were trying to.
Made Daenerys and Jon Snow's relationship okay, you know?
Yes, agreed.
Yeah, but it still was just freaking creepy. But I guess she didn't, you know, come out on top on the end because she got her brains literally melted.
And how is this dude going to be jealous of her baby? Really?
I totally
expected at some point for him to kill the baby. I really was expecting him to kill the baby.
I was too. At some point, yeah. Well, did he? I don't know. Well,
I don't think he did. Did he?
He brought the baby down.
He brought him down. Yeah.
But didn't the building blow up? So maybe he did kill him.
Maybe. Yeah, it is so vague. I don't know. I don't know.
So
I wouldn't doubt it. Knowing this character, I wouldn't doubt it.
So at that point, you know, we see her die, obviously. But what did you guys think? And let's just kind of jump to the end of the series here. We see at the basic after credits almost, or if not the after credits, we see that Billy's wife that he assumes is dead isn't dead. But we find out why she disappeared. She was, I'm assuming, having an affair with Highlander, mm-hmm. or not Highlander, Homelander, and has a kid by him.
That's what I got out of that, is that maybe this alleged rape and murder was just actually an affair.
Yeah.
And she felt ashamed and, I guess, shocked, so she just left. And Voight pretty much paid her off, you know, just to hide out, basically.
Yeah, poor Billy, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
But doesn't that change the dynamic going it into does. Series two?
Yeah. It I think this definitely pushes him even further into that darkness that he was already in a little further.
Yeah. Where he's finding out a super didn't do him wrong. His own wife did him wrong.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And this is like, I guess this is analogous to like a, you know, normal couple with beautiful wife meets celebrity guy, hot, you know, famous guy with all the money and the awesome cars. And, you know, I feel sorry for Billy, man. It's, just bad. And then they have a son on top of it. And in this case, you know, Homelander really is, you know, not aware of what's going on as well. So
he's out of the loop too.
Yeah.
So can't really, fully blame him, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. You can't really have all the anger is, I don't know. The anger that Billy's going through is just all over the place. I know for sure. Who does he aim it towards too? I don't know.
Yeah. And again, like it all stems from this freaking horrible superhero as a business, the Volt International. You know, it's, man.
It is murky stuff, man.
Yeah. Just think of any of the superhero groups from any, you know, comic property are running their business the same way. What if the Avengers was run the same way? What if the X-Men were run the same way, or the Fantastic Four, you know, or the Justice League?
But you know what? I think it sets something up for series two with the sense of, I'm wondering if we will see a different dynamic between Homelander and Billy in season two, because in reality, both of them were played, as we were just saying, by Voight, and they are both victims of Voight. And I wonder if that changes these characters, because both of them are bad guys. When you boil it all down to it, they're neither one of them come away, you know, with squeaky clean hands. Both of them are bad guys.
Well, only one of them lets a plane full of innocent people crash to their deaths, and I don't put them that nowhere on the same level.
Yeah.
But both of them are bad.
I will go Billy so Pitcher's far.
Has not done anything nearly as bad as Homelander.
I will say, yeah, if it was his agenda, I wouldn't put it past him to let that happen if that was his agenda.
Ooh, Bully Bitch? No, he wouldn't do that, man. One thing I can say about him, he has a heart. Now, if you get in his way and he knows you're a bad guy, he's pretty much going to kill you. But, you know, kill a bad guy, who cares? but at least I think Billy Butcher has a heart, man, which I'm not sure Homelander does.
Okay. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Because his agenda is more so aimed towards Supes than it is would be anybody. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah, he's really more so on taking out Supes than he would be just not caring of a human person dies, because he's kind of doing it in a sense for humans to be okay without Supes in a sense. But
all right. So before I ask you guys if there's anything else that you wanted to mention, I think for honorable mention, I just have to mention the character Popclaw, because number one, I just thought that was an irritating power that she had. And number two, the whole idea of her stealing the drug for him, I kind of felt bad for her, because I felt like she was always that person that was the sideline person that was always trying to get to the A-team but never got to the A-team. So what did you guys think of her? And Ron, I'll let you take that first. What did you think of Popclaw?
Well, I'll say my honorable mention before I mention about Popclaw. I will say the honorable mention is the guy who has sex with her is the honorable mention, because I felt bad for him.
Poor Super.
Oh, man. That I feel sorry for him. But yeah, I felt bad for her because she really liked A-Train. Like, if before all the whole fame, him trying to become, you know, a member of the Seven, I'm pretty sure he was a pretty likable person before then. And you kind of got that feel of that when you listen to those two talk, or, you know, had a little dialogue among each other. And she, all she really wanted was just A-Train to be himself. And he was too wrapped up in the name, the brand. So you kind of felt for it, because she was just basically just looking for that, needing that attention that she had when she first met him. And she, yeah.
All right. So Clarence, what about you? What did you think of Popclaw?
Was she supposed to be a Wolverine knockoff? I don't.
Yeah.
X-23.
Yeah. X-23 or Wolverine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought she was interesting. I will, you know, agree with everything you guys said. Now, she was an actress, which I thought was pretty interesting. Now, I'm wondering, was her being a superhero part of her acting gig, which they really didn't discuss, or was she just like a normal person that didn't really show she had superpowers outside of, you know, the bedroom? Very badly put. But no, I don't know, man. I thought she was all right. She didn't really change the series one way or the other. She was kind of inconsequential to me.
Yeah. You know, I kind of saw her as she was doing the acting to make money because she couldn't do the other. And, you know, that's how I kind of saw it. And then, you know, the other thing would be that I just wanted to make a joke about her and the super. But, you know, just insert funny joke about her and the super and go from there. So any other things that we have not brought up that you guys wanted to talk about? So, Clarence, why don't you take that one first?
I don't think I have anything in particular. Again, like, I just want to look at this series as we spoke up top about how it's bringing all these things to light of how what may be going on behind the scenes or what could go on behind the scenes with these characters that we don't necessarily see. You could think of even how a government entity may put on a pretty face in on the media, in the news, but maybe behind closed doors, some pretty shady crap is going on. You can think of it that way. And, you know, I think the fascinating thing about this whole series is, to me, is how it's all about the business, the PR, you know, let's hush this incident of, you know, killing this girl by running through her by giving a lump sum of money to this poor guy. You know, so many things that are centered around how a business can be run shady. Oh, let's secure this government contract by, you know, creating these supers over here. I just love how all of that was put in this story to play negatively to a group of superheroes. So that's what I loved about it. I thought it was really fun. I don't know if I answered your question. Sorry.
No, you did. You did. Absolutely, you did. All right. So, Ron, what about you? Any other thing that you want to mention before we get into the final rating?
I think we about covered it. I would just say I'm really excited for season two and just how all that's going to be playing out. Nothing good for Billy, I'm sure of it. Like I said, it's just very interesting to see a version of superheroes that we all grew up to know and like and admire and see them in a different light. And a light that we could say that, like, this could possibly happen in real life with people with powers. Would they use it for, you know, for great powers and responsibility, or would they use it for fame and fortune?
With great power comes no responsibility.
No responsibility at all.
Well said. Well said. All right. So why don't we do our rating? And I'll go first on this one this time. You know what? I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. And the reason I'm not giving it a 5, I think, because this is so new to me, I don't have any content from the comics to rate it by. But based on the enjoyment of the 8 episodes that I saw, I'll go back to what Clarence said about, you know, fleshing out the characters. I enjoyed this. It was easy to go to the next episode. It was a quick watch. So 4 out of 5 for me. So Clarence, what do you say? What's your rating?
I'm going to give it a 4.5. I didn't go into it expecting a lot, but anytime I could come to work and several of my coworkers are actually rumbling, excited about, you know, having a good conversation like we're doing right now, what's going on in this story, I have to say it's probably a pretty good show. So I really loved it. 8 episodes was the perfect amount, you know, and I hope they do 8 again next season, because it's just a great bingeable amount of episodes, and they threw a lot of stuff at us, but I feel like they did it in a way that was very digestible and the story just flowed, and I'm excited to see where they go with it next season.
All right, Ron, what say you?
I have to give The Boys, I have to give it a 4 out of 5. It's definitely a show that is definitely a good refresher, because of, we all been used to watching, you know, Marvel movies, DC movies, and getting something that's a little different than what we are used to. So, and it, like I said, Clarence said, it was a good lengthy season with 8 episodes. They didn't have to go with 13 or the CW version with 22 episodes or something like that. They just just kept it a good long story that didn't have to drag out to give you any unnecessary episodes that don't have nothing to do with the show at all. But it kept it simple and sweet for you. And it wasn't too much for you to bear. So definitely a 4 out of 5.
All right. So the last thing I have to ask is a very important question, which is, if you could be found somewhere else on the internet, where might that be? And Ron, why don't you go first? If you could be found somewhere else on the internet, where would you point people?
Oh, if I was somewhere hiding under a social media rock, you would probably find me on Twitter, ego_podcast, Instagram as well, ego_podcast, and check me out on Anchor. New episodes biweekly. on Tuesdays talking about comic books. What better things to talk about but comic books?
Indeed. Indeed. All right, Clarence Brown, where else might you be found?
Yeah, I will point people in the direction of medium.com/discussing-network, where you can see all of my ramblings about Star Trek. Definitely go there and read some articles I've written. And yeah, I appreciate it.
Sweet. And for everyone listening, particularly check out his article that he wrote on toxic fandom, which is very, very good. And for everyone who is Doctor Who fans or who are Doctor Who fans, I would direct you to Discussing Who. We have recently finished our review of Journey's End that aired or posted today. This is 29th September, and we will be, of course, having more new episodes soon. So that is at discussingwho.com. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We appreciate your time, as always, and we will be back next time. You've been listening to the Discussing Network. Find out more at discussingnetwork.com.